If you would turn to Daniel chapter 6, that's where we'll be doing our study from, Daniel chapter 6. But before I begin, I'd like to again thank everyone for this opportunity I've been given to be able to stand here before you and present several lessons to expand my knowledge in the Scriptures and to expand my abilities in the preaching of the Word. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I cannot thank you guys enough for this opportunity. Now, as many of you know, I was recently at FCMO camp, which is Florida College Missouri Summer Camp. And I was there for the whole week, and I've lost my voice a little bit, so if I sound kind of monotone or I have like a voice crack or something, I'm sorry, because I'm kind of losing my voice. But while I was at this camp, we studied Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we studied how Timothy was a servant of God. This young man served God and did everything for God. And why we were studying this, mainly 1 Timothy 4 chapter 12 is what we studied. And why we were studying it, I was thinking about other servants of God. I was thought about Paul, and I thought about Joseph and other servants of God. But I think one of the main or a really great example of a servant of God is Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, and we can see this is the chapter with the famous story that a lot of people know. Pretty much everyone knows Daniel in the lion's den, and everyone knows the story. But I'd like to look at the story, look at the context of it, and see it as a whole, and see how Daniel was a servant of Jesus or of God. So let us begin in Daniel. The sermon of my title is Be a Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. So let us start with reading verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. Verse 1 reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Now we can see two things, or two aspects of Daniel's service towards God in verse 3. So let us begin with verse 3 and the very beginning. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. So we can see from this that Daniel distinguished himself. And we see how he distinguished himself was because of an excellent spirit, which is what we'll look at later. But he distinguished himself because of this excellent spirit. But how? Was because he was a hard worker. Daniel worked hard in the things that he did. He was competing, I guess you could say, against these other people, these three other people, or two other people. But he was distinguished because of his excellent spirit. And the only reason people knew he had an excellent spirit was because of his works, the works that he showed. And because he was a hard worker. And in fact, we as Christians are told to be hard workers. Look in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. And if you would keep a marker in Daniel chapter 6, we'll be coming back there shortly. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Romans 12, verses 10 through 12 reads, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer." So we can see in verse 11, it says not lagging in diligence. That lagging is being lazy. We aren't to be lazy in diligence. And it tells us to be fervent in spirit, hardworking in spirit, and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. We are supposed to be hard workers in spirit, serving the Lord. Also, we can see an example of a hard worker in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. We can see this example Paul gives about someone who is running a race for a crown. So let's begin in verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So we can see at the end of verse 26, he's saying, "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." And in verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." He disciplines. How does he discipline his body? With hard work. It's not easy. I can speak from experience through football, playing football. I couldn't just go out there on a game on Friday night and just expect to be in perfect shape and to be able to play all four quarters without hard work. I had to work hard in practice, work hard in the off season, lifting weights and running and everything. And this is the same example that Paul is giving, is that a runner works hard and he's going to obtain this prize if he works hard. You know, a marathon runner can't just run 26.2 miles without training and hard working. And we can also see that Daniel did this with his hard work. That's why he was set apart from these people. And Daniel, even though it amazes me, because Daniel was a captive in this foreign land, yet he still did these things to set himself apart. And we can see in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 that Paul instructs Timothy to do this as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Now he's talking about the things in verses 12 and 14 about the spiritual gifts, and then setting an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. But he's saying to meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them. So we are to work hard and try hard in everything that we do. And this is what Daniel did. Now the second aspect of Daniel we can see is he had an excellent spirit. Turn back over to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." So we can see that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And we can see they knew he had an excellent spirit through his hard works, but also because of the fruits he bore. And we can see that if we have an excellent spirit, we will bear these fruits as well. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Let's start in verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we can see this, that Jesus gave an example that a good tree bears good fruits, and a bad tree bears bad fruits. And this is, if we have an excellent spirit, we will bear these good fruits about and expand in our knowledge, our self-control, perseverance, and so on. So these are two things that Daniel had. He was a hard worker, and he had an excellent spirit. But that just because he had these two things doesn't make him any different from us. He still had to face some temptations and the trials of the world. He faced the trials of the world. Turn back over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. "So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him." Now I'm going to stop here at this verse. And we can see that they couldn't find any charge against Daniel. Why? Because he was faithful, and there was no error or fault in him. And we're going to look more at how Daniel was a faithful person. But this is an excellent attribute that Daniel had, was being faithful, and there was no fault or error found in him. And we should be like this. Continuing in verse 5, "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now I'm going to stop here again. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for someone to say about you? That they could not find anything wrong with you or charge you against anything unless it concerned the law of your God. This is what we need to do. We need to be so into serving God and doing His will. And we need to follow the laws of these lands. But if the laws of the lands say that we have to do something that is against our religion or our beliefs and what we know from the Bible, we are supposed to not follow that law and continue in the law that we have here in the Bible. And that this is the same attribute of Daniel. He was a law-abiding citizen, and he also followed the law of his God and would not break the law of his God to follow the law of the land. So let's continue in verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal stature and to make a firm decree. To whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So we can see these people, they hated Daniel. They wanted to find something against him, because they didn't want him to gain this power, to be set above everything. So they were trying to do everything in their power to take Daniel down, because they knew that them signing, or if they made this decree, this law, that he would be cast into the den of lions. And this is just like us today. People in the world that don't want us as Christians to strive and to preach God's word. They want to take us down, tear us down. And we can see this actually in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19 reads, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we can see that the world hates us. Why? Because God has chosen us to be set apart from this world. And that's what Daniel was. He was set apart from the other people. And they hated him for it. And just like the people today, they will hate us for this. And we can see in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, that it tells us we are going to be fighting against not flesh and blood, but the rulers of this darkness, the principalities. But it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And that is how we stand against and stand firm to the world who hates us, is by putting on the whole armor of God. And we can read in verses 13 through 20 what this whole armor is and how to put it on. Now, when I think about this, I think about Jesus and Satan. When Satan came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and tempted him with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the three temptations that he tempted him with. And then we look at Jesus' response was to give a scripture to Satan and tell him finally to depart from him. And he kept using scripture to defend against what Satan was saying. And I would like to look at what Daniel's response to this was, to this law being signed. So look back over in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Now I'd like to stop here and look at this point. Daniel knew this writing was signed. He knew that if he continued to serve God and do these things, that he would face certain death. And let's see what he did. And in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. So we can see that it was his custom for the early days. He didn't just do this because the decree was signed, but he had done this all the time. Now what Daniel could have done here was he could have shut his windows and he could have prayed to God still and no one would have seen him. But no, that's not what Daniel did. Daniel let his windows open and let it face out towards Jerusalem so people could see him do this. So we can see another aspect of Daniel is he was a shining light. And we are to be a shining light as well. Look over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It reads, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This is what Daniel did. He was letting his light shine. He knew he was going to face death if he did this. Yet he continued to do it to be an example to the people, to show that they need to serve God. And we can see in verse 15 it says, "Nor did they light a lamp and put it under a basket." Daniel could have closed his windows and hidden his light, but he didn't do that. He opened up his windows and left them open to let people see this. And we can see the effect of Daniel being a shining light, the actions of this. Look over in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" So we can see here that Daniel served God continually. And the king and pretty much everyone knew this. And the king didn't say, "Well, I hope your God saves you from the den of lions." No, the king says, "Your God, he will deliver you." He knew that Daniel's God would deliver him because he was a shining light and he prayed to God. And he knew how much this Daniel cared for God and knew that God could do anything for Daniel. And so these are some aspects of Daniel, but I'd like to look at one more. Now, Daniel, he was faithful to God. As I said in verse 4, we'll be looking at that when it says he would be faithful. Now, Daniel, when he was faced with this, like I said, he could have shut his windows and he could have not prayed to God. Or he could have said, "God, let me wait 30 days when the decree is done and let me pray to you then." But he didn't do that. He continued to do this, facing certain death, like I said. Now, he could have said, like I said, "Never mind." And this reminds me of like Joseph in jail. Joseph, you know, was cast into a pit and then sold into slavery. And he could have stopped serving God then, but he didn't. He continued to serve God. And then even worse was later Potiphar's wife tried to lay with Joseph. And Joseph, he was a young man. And we know that in a young man, what they're going through at a young age, their hormones are at an all-time high. And they would love, many men in the world, young men in the world now, would have loved to face what Joseph faced. They would have gladly accepted it. But no, Joseph here ran. The Potiphar's wife grabbed on his clothes and he ran. He didn't stop and have a second thought about it. He didn't start running away, turn around, think about it, and then continue. No, he ran as fast as he could out. And then he still, after all this, faced time in jail. And he could have stopped serving God then. He could have been like, "God, why are you doing all these things to me? I'm trying to serve you and do my best. But guess what? I'm going to continue to serve you, God." And that's what he did. And we can see that he was made over great authority of Egypt and reunited with his family and his brothers. We can also see this with Job. Job lost pretty much everything. He lost everything his own, all of his possessions, his family. And then he even suffered bodily pain, sores all over his body. And his wife even told him to curse God and die. But Job didn't do this. And we can see in Job chapter 42 and verse 10 that Job, after he had prayed for his friends and everything, had gained twice what he had before. And this is the same thing with Daniel. Daniel was faithful to God and he was protected from the den of lions and the lions did not eat him. And he was saved. And we can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 33 says how great of a faith that Daniel had. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 33. "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets," which Daniel was one of the prophets, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." So through Daniel's faith, this is what stopped the mouths of lions. And we here as Christians and around the world need to be like Daniel. We can look and see that Daniel was a hard worker. He had an excellent spirit, was faced with trials, was a shining light, and was faithful to God. And in conclusion, we can see all these things that Daniel had, and we need to follow these aspects of Daniel. And Daniel here was a great servant of God, just like we need to be. And we need to know that If we remain faithful to God and do all these things, that God will deliver us, just like He delivered Daniel out of the den of lions. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It reads, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we can see that there are two promises here, that God is faithful and will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, and He will also make a way of escape from this temptation. So if we remain faithful, we can trust in God and trust in the Lord, just like Daniel did. Then we can have a hope in heaven. So if there is anyone here tonight who has faltered in their faith and has strayed from the straight and narrow path, haven't been living a life such as Daniel, we ask you to pray and to repent of your sins, just like Peter told Simon the sorcerer to do in Acts chapter 8. And if it is of a public nature, we ask you to come forward and to make it known to the brethren. And we here will pray for you, and we will also help and encourage you through your times of trials. Or if you are not here tonight and you have not obeyed God yet, and you would like to start obeying God and serving and being a Daniel, we ask you now to follow a couple steps you have to take to become a Christian and start living the life such as Daniel. The first step is to hear the Word of God. We can see that in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius heard words from Peter. And Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch heard the words from Philip when he taught Jesus to him. And then the next step is to believe. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So once we have heard this Word of God, we will have faith. It comes by hearing. And Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." So we can see belief is a necessary part of salvation. The next step is to repent. We need to repent, just like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter told the people to repent and therefore repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And also in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." The next step is we have to confess, not a confession of our sins, but a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then the final step is baptism. Now, many people don't believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, but we can see through Paul being baptized, the Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius' household, the jailer, the Philippian jailer, his household being baptized. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, there's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. So we can see through all these examples that baptism is necessary for salvation. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." It is a full immersion in water, not a sprinkling on of water. And then finally, remain faithful to death, as we can see in Revelation 2 and verse 10. If we do all these things, we can have a hope in heaven with God, and rest assured that God will give us this hope in heaven. If anything applies to you, or you'd like to make anything made known, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.